Now we're going to begin,
and I'm going to give you every Greek occurrence of that Greek word ion in the New Testament. We're going to give you every one of them. And I'm also going to give you every occurrence of the adjective ionios, translated everlasting, forever and ever. Now, before we begin to give you every occurrence of this Greek word, I want to give you just a few occurrences of the Hebrew word olam, which is equivalent to the Greek word in the New Testament, age. Now, I'll tell you why we're doing this, is because we are continuing to receive replies, letters of people who, for some reason, have been taught that man is going to exist forever, because that's the way it's translated in the English Bible, in an lake of fire. It does say in Revelation chapter 20 that whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, which burneth forever and ever. Now that's the way it reads in the English Bible. But the Holy Spirit never wrote it that way. The Holy Spirit said, for the age of the age. Sometimes it's plural. The context has to do with that. Now I want to give you just one or two or a few occurrences of this same Greek word in the Hebrew language of the Old Testament Hebrew Scriptures. So will you turn a minute with me to Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 17. This deals with the servant of an Israelite who has a servant. In the 17th verse, thou shalt take an awl and thrust it through the servant's ear unto the door, and he shall be thy servant forever. Now there you see you have a plain scripture in which a servant is going to have an awl bored through his ear, and that is the mark that he will be a servant forever. Now, anyone knows that the servant is only the servant for a lifetime. This servant in the camp of Israel who is going to become a slave or a servant of an Israelite is not going to be a slave or a servant endlessly, but it means for his lifetime. The same thing is true of Exodus 21 verse 6. Exodus 21 verse 6, you've got the same expression. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. That word judges, by the way, is the word God, Elohim. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Now he's going to serve him for his lifetime. How many times we find such scriptures in the Bible? Turn once again to Deuteronomy, chapter 23, verse 6. Deuteronomy, chapter 23, verse 6. There again the word forever and ever could not possibly mean endless. And even the fundamentalist or the orthodox Christian, even he himself agrees that it doesn't mean endless here. Deuteronomy 23 verse 6. Thou shalt not seek their peace nor their posterity all thy days forever. Now there you see all thy days is equivalent to forever. Deuteronomy chapter 23 verse 6. Now these are not our interpretations. This is the scripture. Now if someone should believe that forever means endless in the scripture, then he should also believe it here. Because this too is the King James Version in Deuteronomy 23 verse 6. Thou shalt not seek their peace nor their posterity all thy days forever. Now, don't you see that the word forever here is equivalent to the expression all thy days? And then in Job 41 verse 4, you've got the same thing again where the word forever only means for a period of time. Job 41 verse 4. Now, if you aren't able to turn to the scripture soon enough, then you should sit in front of your radio with a paper and pencil and just jot down the references so that after the broadcast, you can look these verses up for yourself. Job 41, verse 4. Will he make a covenant with thee? Wilt thou take him for a servant forever? Now here, of course, Jehovah speaks of the Leviathan. The point is, can Job tame the Leviathan forever? Beginning in verse 1, canst thou draw out Leviathan with an hook? And then in verse 4, will Job make a covenant with the Leviathan? Will Job take him for a servant forever? And of course, that cannot be done. Now there again, you see the word forever is only, at the most, for life. Will Job use the Leviathan as his servant all the days of his life? Then in Chronicles also, 1 Chronicles 22:10, you've got the word forever and ever, which only means 40 years. 1 Chronicles 22:10, the word forever only means 40 years, because it refers to Solomon's reign. 1 Chronicles 22:10. He shall build an house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. And there you know it was established for 40 years. For 40 years Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and he had a peaceful reign, which is certainly a beautiful type of the coming kingdom. There was no peace. There was peace, peace between labor and capital. Things were humming. Things were booming for 40 years. And there you see the word forever means 40 years. That was 1 Chronicles 22:10. Now we've got another one in Nehemiah. While we're in this context anyway, would you go back a minute to the book of Nehemiah? In Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 1, we read this. 13th chapter of the book of Nehemiah and the first verse. And this is what we read. On that day they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever. And there, of course, during the reign, during the time when the temple was in existence, the Moabite and an Ammonite might not come into the camp of Israel. And then there are so many, many occurrences. For instance, in Ecclesiastes 1 verse 4, you've got a different way of using the word forever. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verse 4, we read that one generation cometh, and another generation goeth, and the earth abideth forever. However, we know from other scriptures again that the earth is not going to abide forever, because we read in the New Testament that the heavens and the earth shall pass away. There's even going to be a new heavens and a new earth. And there you see one generation passes and another generation comes, belongs in the realm of the eons or the ages. This here, by the way, is plural. Ecclesiastes 1 verse 4. One generation cometh, and another generation goeth, but the earth abideth for the eons. And a certain amount of eons, whether that's 2 or 3 eons, there is going to be births, and generations come, and generations go. And then, of course, we read so many times that Jerusalem is going to lie waste forever and ever. And there again you understand that Jerusalem is not going to lie waste forever, because someday Jerusalem is going to be safely inhabited. God is going to restore Israel someday to Palestine. God's going to make an Aeonian covenant with them, the new covenant. And then we also read such expressions where Babylon shall be heaps and desolations forever. Now we know that Babylon is not going to be heaps and desolations forever. Someday in the future, Babylon is going to be rebuilt near the Tigris and Euphrates River. And then we know that the Babylon is going to be destroyed. And someday we're going to have a new heavens and a new earth. And there will not possibly remain any heap or desolation of a Babylon or a Jerusalem. Then we also read in the Old Testament of the everlasting hills and the everlasting mountains. Now we know again from other scriptures that there will be no more mountains and no islands and no hills. They will be removed out of their place. When God begins to create a new heavens and a new earth, there will be no more mountains, no more sea. However, the word forever is used quite frequently with the word mountains and hills. All the way through this Old Testament scripture, it abounds with the occurrences of the word forever, everlasting, which not possibly can mean endless. Now next week, we're going to begin in the New Testament. We're not going to take up the Old Testament because it's just full of it, and anyone that even reads it, like priests, forever a priest. Now you know there's going to be no priest that's going to be a priest forever, but he's going to be a priest as long as there's a necessity of priests. And all such expressions must be left in the context of the ages.
I tell you, I'm going to begin a new study this morning, which is all related. And that is, I'm going to give you every single occurrence in the New Testament, only in the New Testament, every single occurrence of one Greek word. And that is the Greek word, aion. Translated in the King James by some 8 to 10 different English words. But we're going to translate it always consistently. The Greek word is aion, the English transliterated word, which would be the best word to use in our English Bible, would be the word eon. Or, if you prefer, the word age. Then in the plural, eons, or ages. And then the adjective in the Greek is aionios, but we will transliterate it, aeonian. Or, if you prefer, age-lasting. Now, that particular Greek word, which is so mistranslated by the word forever and ever, we're going to give you every single occurrence of that word. Because the translation is much of an interpretation in the Scripture. Two unscriptural concepts are at the bottom of our difficulties as we consider the destiny of the human race. Two unscriptural concepts. First is the idea that death is not death at all. Most people believe Satan's lie in the Garden of Eden, "Ye shall not surely die." There is no death. What seems so is transition. Now that can actually be found in some of the literature of the theologians, that death, there is no death. What seems so is only a transition. Then the second great concept, an unscriptural concept of the human destiny, is faulty translation. We have come to have a false idea as to the duration of certain time periods mentioned in the Scriptures. And this has resulted in many contradictions which any thoughtful student of God's Word and of our commonly used English version must readily discover. These mistakes appear in many versions in other languages because they too, in one way or another, have carried over the errors that came to us through Jerome's Latin Vulgate. If we obey the command of our Lord to search the Scriptures, we shall discover this and not rest until we find where the difficulty lies. Some who claim to believe in the verbal inspiration of the Scriptures seem to forget that they were not written in our language, and that they have passed through many hands since they were first penned. Bible wasn't written in the English language. The Scripture, the New Testament, was written in the Greek, and the Old Testament was written in the Hebrew. Now let me give you just a few illustrations of this yet in the Scripture, and then we're going to begin our Greek word study.
For instance, the word everlasting is applied to what is clearly not everlasting. For instance, we read of the everlasting hills and the everlasting mountains. Deuteronomy 33, we read about the everlasting hills. Yet we know that in other scriptures we read that every mountain and hill shall be made low, and all the hills shall melt, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, it says in Isaiah 54, verse 10. Yet in other places we read of everlasting hills. Now it's clearly that the word everlasting there does not mean everlasting. Oh, we've got so many of them. For instance, in Matthew 24, verse 3, we read of the end of the world. Then in Ephesians 3, verse 21, we read world without end. Then in Isaiah 45, verse 17, we read again world without end. And yet in other places again, we read the end of the world. Those are all faulty mistranslations. Now we're going to begin in the book of Matthew, and we're going to give you every occurrence of the noun. And this is my object in doing this. I'm going to try to show you that the whole scripture deals with the eons and does not deal with eternity. And if we once can see that truth, we've got a wonderful Bible. Because then we see that all of God's operations in the scriptures are all processes to an end. None of them are ends in themselves. That puts the great white throne judgment, that puts the lake of fire still in the process of the eons. And the lake of fire is not an end in itself, like most people claim it to be. No, it is still a means to an end. Now I'm going to begin in the book of Matthew, the very first occurrence of this Greek word. The Greek word is aion in the Greek, ion. It's a long O. We'll transliterate it always by the English word eon in the singular and eons in the plural. That's another thing that ought to make most people think. How come that the word forever and ever could be in the singular and in the plural? Is there a forever and then also forevers? All right, our first occurrence, and you should really take a pencil and jot down or mark every one of these scriptures by chain reference in your New Testament. The first one is Matthew 6:13. Of course, you know the 13th verse of Matthew 6 is really not in the manuscripts. Matthew 6:13, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." You won't find it in the Revised Version either. But if you insist on having it, then the word forever there is the Greek word that we are studying, which is aion, eon. Now the 12th chapter of Matthew, verse 32. The 12th chapter of Matthew and verse 32 is our second occurrence. "And whosoever may be saying a word against the Son of Mankind, it will be pardoned him. Yet whoever may be saying aught against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be pardoned him, neither in this eon, nor in that one which is impending." Now, you know, here again, people have tried to teach that a sin against the Holy Spirit would never be forgiven. Now, that's not what it says here. The word is translated here, "neither in this world, neither in the one to come." But the word world here is the word that we're studying and should be translated eon, which is many times translated forever. In fact, in the 13th verse of the 6th chapter, it was translated forever. Here in the King James Bible, the same Greek word is translated world. Now right there, you should think and say, now wait a minute. A translator translates this Greek word forever in 6:13, then he suddenly translates it world in 12:32. That's right. You should really read it this way then. "And whosoever may be saying a word against the Son of Mankind, it will be pardoned him. Yet whoever may be saying aught against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be pardoned him, neither in this forever, nor in the one that is coming." No, the word is eon. And of course here it looks to the kingdom eon,
He is talking here in Matthew, and that is a kingdom gospel, and it deals with Israel and the kingdom. And thus, the sin against the Holy Spirit, if the Israelite rejected the Holy Spirit in the Acts administration, it would not be forgiven him in his life during that eon, and neither in the eon to come, which would be to them the kingdom eon, the millennium, for 1,000 years. Now the next occurrence is Matthew 13:22. Matthew 13:22. Now he who is being sown in the thorns, this is he who is hearing the word, and the worry of this eon. Now there it does not say the cares of this world, but the care of this eon. The harvest, he that heareth the word, and the care of this world. There again, it's translated world, but it's the Greek word eon. Verse 39 is the next occurrence. Now the enemy who sows them is the adversary. Now the harvest is the conclusion of the eon. When Jesus Christ comes on the Mount of Olives, when he is going to be unveiled in his second coming, then he is going to reap the harvest, and that is going to be the conclusion of the eon. This present wicked eon started at the flood, and it's going to consummate at the second coming of Jesus Christ, the unveiling. He's going to be unveiled, and that ends the eon. Then begins the next eon, called the millennium. Then there's going to be another eon again, called the eon of the new heavens and the new earth. In that eon, the lake of fire will be there. The second death will be in the lake of fire. Saints will be reigning for the eons. And then Satan also will be in the lake of fire after the millennium. But we're still in the eons. We're not in eternity. We're not in the forevers. Now verse 40. I'm still in Matthew 13, verse 40. Even as the tares, then, are being culled and burned up with fire, thus shall it be in the conclusion of the eon. The Son of Mankind shall be dispatching his messengers. In Thessalonians, we have the same thought. He shall come in flaming fire with his angels, with messengers, and he shall put vengeance upon them who know not God, because our testimony among you, that was the Thessalonians, was not believed in that day. You see, that was Paul writing to the Thessalonians, and his testimony during the Acts period was not believed. And he's going to come with messengers in flaming fire. That's going to be at the second coming of Jesus Christ, and that's going to conclude the eon. That's just before the millennium. Now verse 49, we have it again. Verse 49. Thus shall it be in the conclusion of the eon. The messengers will be coming out, and they will be severing the wicked from the midst of the just. That was verse 49. That again will be done just before the millennium. Say, would you go back with me a minute in verse 47? You ever heard a sermon on verse 47, verse 48? Of Matthew 13, 47? Again, like is the kingdom of the heavens to a dragnet cast into the sea, which gathers of every kind, and when it was full, hauling it up on the beach and being seated, they cull the good and the bad, they cast out. Did you ever hear a sermon on that? They would read that scripture, and then they'd usually close the Bible, and then they'd preach a sermon about the bad going to hell and the good going to heaven. Now, you know there isn't anything about that in that verse, is there? In the first place, it says here that, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good that's in the net, not the good that's in the sea, and the bad. And they cast the bad away. Out of what? Out of the net, not out of the sea. Now, you see, people make an everlasting hell out of that in verse 50. And yet, the whole context here has only to do with the good and the bad ones in the net, not the good and the bad ones in the sea, because there's probably more fish left in the sea than there are in the net. You follow me there? Verse 50,
and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And so most preachers, they stick the heathens and the coloreds and the blacks and everybody and all Tom, Dick, and Harry's, they just throw them all in the furnace of fire in verse 50, and then they themselves go to heaven and start singing songs. Oh no, it's only those in the dragnet that are going to be called. This has to do with the kingdom. And thus, at the conclusion of the eon, then out of the net, he's going to cull the bad out of the out of it, and the bad are going to go into the furnace of fire, and the good, they go into the kingdom. It doesn't say either that they're going to go to heaven. Now that was Matthew 13, verse 49, and now my time is gone.
The third chapter now of the book of Acts, we are studying a Greek word, the Greek word aion, eon. It's a word that has been mistranslated, everlasting. It's been mistranslated, forever and ever. It's been mistranslated, eternal. It should always, consistently, be rendered eon in the singular, aeonian, the adjective, eons in the plural. Now, our first reference now again, after last Wednesday morning, is the third chapter of the book of Acts, Acts 3, 21. Third chapter and verse 21. And there we read this, whom Christ Jesus, whom heaven must indeed receive, until the times of the restitution of all things which God speaks through the mouth of his holy prophets who are from the eon. Now here you see the word forever and ever has been in the King James Bible translated world. But why not always consistently render it eon? And it happens to be singular here. His holy prophets who are from the eon. Not since the world began, but since the eon began, or from the eon. The next one is chapter 15, verse 18. Chapter 15, verse 18 of the book of Acts. And here it is, the 18th verse of the 15th chapter. And 18th verse, known unto God, from the eon is his work. Now it says in King James, known unto God from the beginning of the world. But there again, the word world is in the singular and should be rendered eon. Known unto God are his works from the beginning of the eon. By the way, that takes care of the tornadoes too, don't it? Known unto God are all his works. He made no mistakes. Now that's the only time that the noun occurs in the book of Acts. The noun aion, the noun eon, occurs only twice in the book of Acts. And our next one is the book of Romans. Romans 1:25 is the next occurrence of this same Greek word that's translated world in the book of Acts. Romans chapter 1:25. Here it is. Those who alter the truth of God into a lie and are venerated and offer divine service to the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed for the eons. Now you see in the book of Acts, the last two references we had, this Greek word was mistranslated world. Now, all of a sudden, the same Greek word, the translators translate it forever. Now, you see, there's something wrong when you juggle with words that way. We have no right to juggle with scriptural words. The word in Romans 1:25, the word forever, is in the plural, and once again, who is blessed for the eons. Amen. The next one is Romans 9:5, the ninth chapter of the book of Romans, the fifth verse. I'm giving you every occurrence of the Greek noun, aion, in the New Testament, or rather in the Greek Scripture, the Greek New Testament. Now, Romans 9, verse 5. Whose are the fathers, and out of whom is the Christ, according to the flesh, who is over all, God blessed for the eons. There you see Jesus Christ, he is God for the eons. He will not be God when the eons come to an end, because then we read in 1 Corinthians 15 that he is going to lay his scepter down. He is going to commit and deliver his rule, his kingdom, his kingship. He's going to deliver it over into the hands of the Father. He himself is going to be subjected to the Father at the consummation of the eons. And then his Father, God, is going to be all in all. Figuratively, he is the God of the eons. This very, here in this very verse, if you would compare this with 1 Corinthians 15:28, you could know that the word could never be forever. By the fact that Jesus Christ is no more God when the eons come to an end. Because his Father is going to be all in all. Jesus Christ is God for the eons. He has a right to the title God, because he has a right to operate in the full capacity as a supreme being, because his Father, his God, has delegated all rule, all authority, all power into the hands of his Son. And when the eons come to an end, and he has won every single creature in the universe to the bosom of his Father, to the heart and lovingness of his Father, then he is going to deliver the kingdom over unto his Father. He himself is going to be subjected to his Father, and then his Father is going to be all in all. 1 Corinthians 15:28. Now, Romans 9, verse 5, who God blessed for the eons. That's his Son, Christ, who is over all. Christ at present, during the eons, is over all. When the eons come to an end, then his Father is going to be over all. Now the next one is Romans 11:36. Romans 11:36. The last verse of the 11th chapter. And through him and for him is all. Or rather, I forgot the first part of that verse. That out of him and through him and for him is all. To him be glory for the eons. Amen. Now you see, if the King James would translate this word like they translated it in the book of Acts, they would have had to translate it, to him be glory for the worlds. Because they translated it world in the book of Acts. In other places, they translated it forever, and here it is translated forever. But it should always be eon in the singular, eons in the plural. So Romans 11:36, to him are all things, to whom be glory for the eons. Next one is chapter 12, verse 2, Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this eon. Now there you see, they again translated it world. At one time they translated forever, then all of a sudden they mistranslated again into the word world. Now it should either always be world, or always be forever, or always be what it says, eon. And actually, the English word eon is a transliteration of the Greek word aion. And the word is in the dictionary, by the way. Now, why not always consistently render this word eon in the singular, eons in the plural? Now the next one is Romans 16:27. Romans 16:27. To the only wise God, through Christ Jesus, be glory for the eons of the eons. Now here the word is found twice in the Greek scripture. But the King James translators, again, only translated it once and then mistranslated it into the word forever. But it should consistently be rendered, and it happens to be plural. So once again, Romans 16:27, to the only wise God, through Christ Jesus, be glory for the eons of the eons. Amen. And that concludes the book of Romans. Now, the book of Corinthians is next. 1 Corinthians 1:20 is the next occurrence of this Greek word, ion. I'll spell it for you in the Greek. A-I-long-O-N. We are literally transliterating it, E-O-N, eon. Plural, E-O-N-S, eons. Now the next occurrence is 1 Corinthians 1, verse 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the discusser of this eon? There you see, not the disputer of this world, but the disputer of this eon. And of course we know from Galatians 1 verse 4 that it is a wicked eon, an evil eon. Next one is 1 Corinthians 2 verse 6. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 6. Yet wisdom are we speaking among the mature, yet a wisdom not of this eon, neither of the chief men of this eon, who are being discarded. Now there the word occurs twice. And again, the King James translators translated it by the word world. It happens to be singular. It should not be rendered world, nor forever and ever. It's eon. Once again, that sixth verse, yet wisdom are we speaking among the mature. Yet a wisdom not of this eon, neither of the chief men of this eon, who are being discarded, but we are speaking God's wisdom in a secret. Now it's in the seventh verse too, I'll keep right on reading, which has been concealed, which God designates before the eons for our glory, which not one of the chief men of this eon, there it is singular, knows. For if they know, they would not crucify the Lord of glory. And of course, if you know from the first chapter of Corinthians and the eighth chapter of the book of Proverbs, the wisdom of God here is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was this lamb slain before the foundations of the world. Before the eon, he was designated as God's wisdom. Now we find it about five times in all these verses. You'll find it twice in verse 6. You'll find it once in verse 7 and once in verse 8 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me go through these once more so we won't miss them. 1 Corinthians 2, beginning at verse 6. There it happens to be singular. In fact, it's singular in verse 6, it's singular in verse 8, but it's plural in verse 7. Now here they are once more. Yet wisdom are we speaking among the mature, yet a wisdom not of this eon, neither of the chief men of this eon who are being discarded, but we are speaking God's wisdom in a secret which has been concealed, which God designates before the eons. Now there you see you couldn't possibly translate that before the forevers. You'd almost have to do that if you followed King James translation, because they translate this word so many times, forever and ever, and you couldn't possibly say forevers. So why not be consistent and translate it before the eons for our glory? Now verse 8, which not one of the chief men of this eon knows. For if they know, they would not crucify the Lord of glory. And of course the apostle is speaking very much of the time in which he was living, because they crucified God's wisdom. And those were supposed to be wise men. That's why he said previously, where is the scribe? You see, the scribes were supposed to be the wise men. They were supposed to be the great discussers and disputers of this eon. Where are they? They didn't even recognize their own Messiah. They didn't even recognize the one who was going to be their salvation at that time. Well, I see that my time is almost gone. I may just give you one more in 318 is the next one in 318. And